WHO. It's WHBO. We want to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHBO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country, 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. 9:26. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope you're having a good Monday morning. Hope you had a good weekend. We are talking today with Aaron from the St. Louis Dairy Council, who's in studio with us this morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Oh, man, after I spilled my coffee this morning.
I know. It was such a Monday feeling, too.
You know, it's spill-proof cups, but you got to remember, they've got a little thing that, you know, I got to clip down on.
Exactly. I've done that once before, a TV interview, and I was wearing a white shirt and poured coffee all down the front of me. So I've definitely been there.
Right. That usually happens to me when I am wearing a white shirt.
Yes, so. Yes. It's a magnet for coffee.
It is, definitely. And spaghetti sauce.
Absolutely.
June is Dairy Month. Is that correct?
Yes. June is National Dairy Month. So we are spending this month at the Dairy Council celebrating all things dairy and promoting, of course. But it's important to acknowledge where it came from, too. We've been doing this for over 80 years. It started as a week. In about 2 years later, so 80 years ago, they changed it to an entire month dedicated to June. And it initially started because when cows went to pasture after being on winter feed, once it warmed up, which it finally has, their milk production went up, and it was a way to help move that extra milk. Right. And now at the Dairy Council, we acknowledge the nutrition and the great things about milk that we do year-round, but also a little nod to our farmers who work so hard, too.
True. So it went from a week to a month. I guess I figured I couldn't get it all in with milk for
exactly. Milk needs more than a week for sure.
True, exactly. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and get into our conversation about milk here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll be back here on The People Speak in just a minute. You're listening to Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back, 9:34. This is The People Speak. Again, we're talking with Aaron from the St. Louis Dairy Council. It is Dairy Month in June, and it's a time we use to celebrate local dairy farmers and the nutritious product, and milk is nutritious.
Yes, it is. Milk has a lot of great nutrition in it, and there aren't many foods out there that have what we call essential nutrients, as many as milk does. So an essential nutrient is basically a nutrient our body cannot make but needs to function properly. So there's all kinds that we need. There are different vitamins and minerals that we need to get through food every day just to stay healthy, and milk has 9 essential nutrients in it per serving. So there aren't many that have that many. There might be a food that's really high in one vitamin or one mineral, which is great, but milk has so many, and we don't really see that very often in foods. So milk especially is known for its calcium and vitamin D, which is great for bones, but it's a great source of protein and a lot of other what we call micronutrients, vitamins and minerals. So that's why we need to be getting 3 servings a day in, and most Americans are only getting 2. So you don't get all those benefits that we say milk gives you unless you get all 3. So
right.
We say 3 a day is the goal between milk, cheese, and yogurt.
So how long have we been celebrating National or Dairy Month or whatever?
It's been about 80 years. So then when it was a week long, that was 82 years ago in 1937. And then in 1939, they switched it to a month. So that is where we developed June Dairy Month.
So if we were talking about this in 1937, we'd be talking about National Milk Week.
Yes, exactly. It would be Dairy Week. And now we get a whole month to really celebrate and settle into the idea of it, you know.
So, and as I said, you know, this is where you kind of honor the dairy farmer and the work they put in and stuff and getting the milk out into the...
to the store and the process. Exactly. So dairy farmers, I don't know that many people, if you're from farming communities, it might be more commonly known. I grew up not in a farming community at all. So, but dairy farmers, all farmers work very hard. Mm-hmm. Dairy farmers have to work every single day unless they have enough help on their farm, because cows have to get milked every day. Cows don't care if it's really hot out or freezing out, or if it's storming, or if it's a holiday morning like Christmas morning. Cows get milked every day.
Right.
So that's something that, unless there's adequate help on the farm, our dairy farmers are working 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So we really want to draw attention to that and the hard work they do, and also the efforts that they put in, because one thing that's important to know is a stressed out cow doesn't make milk. So not only are they working to produce a really nutritious product for all of us and one that's safe, but also really ensure cows are well cared for. Cow comfort and care is so important too, for their well-being. So
want a relaxed cow.
Yeah, we want a really content, well-rested, happy, if you can measure happiness in an animal, cow, because those are the animals that produce milk. And also, our farmers have a lot of integrity and care a lot about the animals that they're caring for. They're essentially their pets, too. They've got anywhere from, 60 to hundreds of pets on their farm that they're constantly taking care of and maintaining.
One thing, people... If I've got a question or something, I'll usually Google it or something like that. But, you can Google that, but you can get a lot of misinformation too, right?
Yes, this is the information age, but also kind of the misinformation age, because there's so much out there between social media and anyone can write a website these days. So it's really hard to be able to separate what is good quality information that's supported by research and science and the facts, and what is strictly opinions and biased. So part of what we're doing June Dairy Month is really having these conversations, or cowversations, with people about what's true and what's not, and kind of dispelling these myths, because, some people do, but you wouldn't, consult the internet for a medical emergency. You should go to the doctor. So things that have pertaining to dairy and nutrition, you should come to the experts for that information. And the nutrition educators that work at the Dairy Council are all registered dietitians. So we're considered the food and nutrition experts as well. So we really are encouraging people to come to your best source for information, because there is so much misinformation out there.
Right. You mentioned a word there, and at first, whenever I got the topic that we were going to be talking about, I'm like, a typo is say, or whatever, but it's not a cowversation.
A cowversation. So this word will forever, I could never say the normal word again, I don't think. So now you guys are all in it with me. But it's our campaign. Let's have a cowversation. That's our June Dairy Month theme. Let's talk about dairy and cows and nutrition and really dive deep into your questions and what you're not sure about and get the best information out there. So if you have a question related to a dairy farmer, we can get the information for you, because we're not farmers, but we have plenty of access to dairy farmers. And then if you have questions about nutrition, you can do that too. So if anybody has some burning cowversation questions, I want to give them a resource. You can send your questions through email to cowversations@stldairycouncil.org. And that's where you can, any question, if it has to do with dairy farming, it has to do with dairy nutrition, any kind of question you have, we can get the answer for you. And then we also have Facebook page, which is STL Dairy Council, and that's where we'll be kind of posting our conversations throughout the month.
It takes a little bit to get it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you don't want to say conversation at first, but you will. It'll roll off the tongue eventually.
We'll get a whole trend started here.
Yes.
So there's a lot of myths about dairy out there.
Yes.
Can we kind of maybe go through some of those?
We can dispel them. Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of myths. We actually have resources too, which I'll direct everyone to at the end. But yeah, we can go through some common dairy myths, and I can give you the facts about them. So
okay. Well, one of them is, and I love chocolate milk, and you always think, but choose between chocolate or, white milk. well, I'm probably going to skip the chocolate because it's got too much sugar and stuff in it and it's not as healthy, right?
Exactly. A lot of people think that chocolate milk, one, is either a child's beverage, or two, it's got too much sugar in it. Or maybe both. You're thinking both. And one of the things I want to say is all milk, whether it's chocolate milk, strawberry milk, or white milk, or any other flavor out there, still has the same amount of nutrition as white milk. So those 9 essential nutrients I mentioned earlier, the great source of protein, high quality protein too, that's all present in flavored milk. So if you're a child or adult living in your household, the only way they're gonna drink milk is if it's flavored. That is a really important way that they can get in really good nutrition. Okay. So that's the first thing I will say, is rest easy knowing that you're getting great nutrition. And then most of the sugar, if not, it's like more than half of the sugar in chocolate milk is naturally occurring, found in milk. So it's not even added sugar, the majority of it. The other thing to say is sugar in chocolate or flavored milk accounts for about 4% of daily sugar intake, especially in children. And research has shown that kids that drink chocolate milk don't get any more sugar in their diet than kids that do not. So in terms of kind of weighing the benefits, as a dietitian, I'll always say you want to really weigh the cost and benefits and see. So a little bit of sugar, but all of this nutrition, it's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Absolutely let them drink it. Now, especially comparing chocolate milk to something, some of the other drinks out there, fruit beverages or sports drinks or things that are just laden right. with added sugar without many nutrition benefits. Those are the beverages that I would say maybe we need to reconsider. But I feel like chocolate milk can absolutely have a fixed place in a daily diet.
You know, I actually saw a show one time where they showed the sugar content in like a carbonated beverage.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, what am I drinking? It looks like I'm going to be drinking pure sugar because as much sugar as they were showing,
it was basically what would fill in the can or bottle or something. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do that at schools. We do this with sugar cubes, and we show how many teaspoons of sugar are in each beverage. It's insane how much sugar is in them. One of those little personal bottles of like a cola beverage or something like that, 65 grams of sugar.
Wow.
It's insane. There's so many. And just that's added sugar. So just to compare, there's added sugar wise in chocolate milk, like 4 teaspoons compared to the 65, which comes out to be math. There's 4 grams of sugar in every teaspoon.
Wow.
So it's a fraction of what's there. So if your choices are having your kid drink a soda or drink chocolate milk, there's no doubt what is the better, healthier, guilt-free option.
Right.
Yes.
True. Exactly. Another one of the myths. Yeah, if I can talk. Myths out there. You can get calcium, obviously, from other foods and stuff. So, I mean, do we really need to drink milk for that?
So milk is a really great source of calcium. That's what we tend to immediately think of nutrition wise. If you say, tell me a nutrient that's in milk, you say, oh, calcium for your bones. Many foods might contain calcium, but the milk and dairy foods have it in a way that's kind of, we've got it measured and perfect. So 3 glasses of milk a day, you're pretty much going to hit your calcium needs. The other thing I want to mention is that milk also has vitamin D in it. So biologically, we have a hard time, or physiologically, absorbing and using calcium when it's by itself. It's a harder mineral to absorb and use and let into our bones. But when it has vitamin D present, vitamin D is essentially like a little key that opens our bones to let it absorb the calcium. So you get much better absorption and utilization in our bodies. Basically, our body's going to get that calcium and put it where it's supposed to be in our bones better when we have vitamin D with it. So that's something that not all other foods have with it. And the other thing to think about too is that something like broccoli, which has a lot of calcium in it, or something like almonds that do have some calcium in them, to get the same amount of calcium that's in 1 cup of milk, which is about 300 milligrams, you would need about 3.5 cups of broccoli, or about 10 cups of spinach, or an entire cup of almonds, which is about 4 times the recommended serving size. So just to get what's in a glass of milk, you need a lot of other foods to get to that amount. And keep in mind, we want 3 servings of dairy a day. So multiply all of that by 3. That's broccoli's great for you, but I don't think you need you know, 12 cups of broccoli a day just to hit a calcium amount, when we can get it so much easier and in the presence of a lot of other nutrients in milk.
Right. And 10 cups of spinach, I just can't see myself eating that.
No. You know, some spinach is great. I love spinach, but I have a hard time pigeonholing one nutrient just to try and get it from. But if we could have a glass of milk and some broccoli and spinach and a lot of other great foods, you're going to have a really nutritious diet.
Exactly. Milk alternatives like almond milk, coconut beverages, things like that. The theory is out there those are a good substitute for cow's milk, right?
Yeah, that's a really prevalent myth right now, that we know almonds are good for us, so why not have almond milk? But something that is maybe kind of passed over is the fact that things like almond and coconut and rice beverages, all of those, it's not actually milk. It's more like a juice. They're kind of juiced and strained and pulverized, and they're fortified with the nutrients to try and mimic what's present in milk. And one of the things that not many people might know, but when nutrients are naturally occurring, so when they occur naturally in the product, our body uses them better. So if a bunch of vitamins and minerals are added to something, let's say like almond beverage or something like that, our body isn't going to necessarily absorb it and use it the same as it would as if it were naturally occurring. The vitamin D that I was mentioning also is very important to the absorption and utilization, and that may or may not be present in those. It's also a really great source of high-quality protein, cow's milk. Those other beverages out there, especially things like almond and coconut and rice, they're so low in protein. And one of the benefits of protein is that it's really important for our immune system and our muscle function and our cell function. Also, it helps us feel satisfied from our meal. So there's nothing worse than having a whole meal or making a smoothie or something like that and still feeling hungry afterwards. And you get great quality protein from cow's milk that isn't really prevalent in those other beverages. And they're highly, highly processed as well. They have a lot of additives and things, because if you think about almonds in themselves, if it were just truly an almond, it wouldn't look anything like it does in those drinkable containers, correct?
Correct.
there's a lot of man-made manufacturing that has to happen to create those.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's get our other break in here and we'll come back and talk some more about milk and debunk a few more of those myths out there.
Sounds great.
All right, we'll be back here on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back. Talking with Aaron from the St. Louis Dairy Council here on The People Speak today. We were debunking a few myths about milk, and we covered a few of them before the break there, such as alternatives like almond or coconut beverages are not really a good substitute for cow's milk. And another one here, and I see this in the store, organic milk. Is that healthier?
That's a great question. Oftentimes we think that something's labeled as organic, so it must be better for us. So there is no evidence scientifically to prove that organic milk has any more nutrients than conventional cow's milk. So regular milk, cheese, and yogurt all have the same amount of vitamins and minerals as the organic option. And oftentimes it comes with a higher price. And then something else to note is that there's really strict government rules that ensure that milk from conventional farms, non-organic farms, are very safe. So milk is probably one of the most regulated products on the market. It's checked at the farm before it's ever even loaded on the milk truck. It's checked at the processing plant before it's ever allowed to be off the milk truck, and then several times throughout the entire processing time, just to make sure that it's safe. There's nothing in there that would possibly make people sick or concerned. So it's checked and checked and checked to make sure. So milk that is not organic is perfectly safe and nutritious.
Okay. Another myth: all milks contain antibiotics and hormones except organic milk.
So all milk, even organic milk, naturally contains a small amount of hormones that is actually just broken down in our digestive tract. So it never really enters our bloodstream or anything like that. It's just naturally occurring in the food that our bodies are completely capable of breaking down. That's not different from organic to conventional. And then milk producers in general on conventional dairy farms, none of the milk contains antibiotics. So what happens on a conventional dairy farm is that if an animal were to get sick, just like we would do with our own pets, if they're sick, we would give them medicine if it's so necessary. Mm-hmm. So what they would do is give them antibiotics that are prescribed by a veterinarian in the proper amounts and everything. But that cow is removed from the herd with milking. The cow is still milked, but it's separated. It's never entered into the tank. So, and it's done that until the milk tests negative for antibiotics, and then that cow is reintroduced into the herd just to ensure there's no antibiotics in anything. So that's something that people do not need to worry about at all. And in addition to the on-farm checks and balances, just to make sure that nothing happens, that's also something that processors check for as well. So that will never introduce into the supply that you would be drinking. And the other thing to think of is something to know is that's the difference between conventional farms. One of the differences between conventional farms and organic farms. If a cow on an organic farm is sick, they can't be given antibiotics. So that's something that you might want to consider as well. So they have other means to try and make sure that cow is as healthy as possible, but that's never going to be an issue that you need to worry about as far as when you're drinking milk that antibiotics are present.
Right. What about people that are sensitive to lactose? I always hear that they should try to avoid dairy foods.
Right. We would think that too. And different dairy foods have different amounts of lactose in them. Most people who are lactose intolerant, it's not like an all or nothing. If I have any lactose, I'm sick. Usually it's kind of dose dependent. So one of the recommendations is to make sure that you have food in your system when you're having a dairy food. That kind of helps your digestive tract tolerate it better. Foods like cheese, especially hard cheeses, are very low in lactose. Yogurt tends to be better tolerated as well. Greek yogurts actually, that extra straining process it goes through removes even more lactose, and then the bacteria that are present actually help break it down too. So there are plenty of dairy foods to try. And then if all else fails, there is lactose-free cow's milk, so you get all of those great nutrients without worrying about the lactose at all.
All right, just about out of time, but how could our listeners follow these Calversations or the campaign for the
Exactly. They can go to our Facebook page, which is STL Dairy Council. We're actually on Instagram, too, with the same handle, STL Dairy Council. And then, like I said earlier, if you have any questions that you'd like us to answer for you, please email conversations@stldairycouncil.org. And please go to our website, which is stldairycouncil.org. And you can check out all sorts of resources, information we have to help further dispel any myths you might have.
All right, Erin, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next month.
Sounds great.
All right, for the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.